Everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. We got a full squad today. Jake Ellenberger and T-Rex are here.
Nanu, nanu.
Hoodoo.
Jake's looking huge, man. You're looking jacked. You look like you're ready because you were fat a week ago. So it's really good.
I started hitting the gym.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, so it's paying off. I had a good week last week. I had two TV shows optioned by production companies, which
nice.
That doesn't mean that like they've sold them. It means the companies want to, but that's good. It's actually in like TV talk, you have to like a lot of times pitch it to a production company who then pitches it, and even getting that is a big deal because they're big companies.
Is it the one that you told me about that you sent me a video of?
Yeah, I got okay. A couple of them, which nice. Is cool. And then my date last Tuesday night was good. It was a girl that I hadn't seen since I was 20 years old, and actually 19. And so now this is like 16 years later. Mm-hmm.
Now she's 20.
Yes, thank you. So we like go out, we have a good time, and like, you know, she's cool, we're having a good time. And then at the end of the night, like, well, I remember when I dated her, I like never could sleep with her. I never could get her pants off. I could never get my pants off. I mean, it was just very, I was like young. I was like 19 when we dated, and it was very like, very innocent, and maybe I was a little, I don't know, I'm naive, and it was whatever. So at the end of the night, but I'm like, look, I can't wait another 16 years for this shit, you know. So I ended up just, I got a handy. I haven't got a handy in a long time, but it was
from someone else, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. No, normally I like paint my own nails red, and and like shave my arm. Sometimes I'll like paint both of them in different colors, but then I'm having a threesome down there, you know. So but it was fun. And then it was like, I go, wow, this is the longest I've ever waited for a hand job, 17, because I'm not gonna wait till I'm 54. I'm gonna be another 16 years. So so that was a highlight. And then I had that show from my friend I was telling you about. So that was one of the hardest experiences in my life. My friend Randy, a little backstory. I've been coaching wrestling for 10 years at middle school. And basically, I was online looking for jobs 10 years ago. I'm like, I need a job, a part-time job. And like, wrestling coach. Well, I wrestled. I could do that. I go there. I started this program from scratch, which I don't know if you ever tried to start a wrestling program at middle school from scratch. I mean, the kids thought it was like WWE. They were running into the walls. There was no padding. I'm like, okay, if I just teach them one really high-risk move, I was just showing them Japanese arm throws because I figured if they knew that, I had no idea how to teach the basics. So I had to learn. So 10 years later, we won the whole thing, and I've been doing it for a long time. Well, the kids wanted to wrestle in high school, a lot of them. I would get them into it, but there was no high school program. So like, I would see them on Facebook, hey, coach, man. So I don't know if starting a program in a high school is fucking hell, because you have to get, I had to get the parents involved and have meetings and for 4 years I have to try to get, and it was like the hardest thing to convince people to have a wrestling team, which is the cheapest sport in the world. You need a mat. I mean, it's not like we need lacrosse sticks or build a fucking swimming pool.
Yeah, it's not ice hockey.
It's not ice hockey. It's a wrestling team. Even that, no, we have too many sports and blah, blah, blah. Because maybe you could start off with a club team. So finally, they had enough kids to do it, and they did it. And
that was at Pally?
At Palisades High School. And we got this coach, this guy Randy Aguirre, who is the nicest guy. And he was the coach over at Covina. And he goes over there, and he's a no-nonsense guy, my kind of coach, knows a million moves, wrestled for San Francisco State. And in 4 years, they win the city tournament. And they actually... Which is hard to do, because wrestling, I don't know if people know, a lot of it is like, it's like you're good because your older brother did it, and then your cousin did it, and it's sort of one of those sports where you need like a, it's hard to start a program from scratch. Anyway.
It is.
A month ago, I get a phone call from my friend Aldo. Hey, Randy was feeling really sick. He had a terrible headache at the gym all week long, goes to the gym, finds out he has a brain tumor. And I mean, he's the 29 years old. 29. Right. So then he goes and finds out he then has stage 4 glioblastoma, which means basically it's almost, a lot of doctors say it's incurable, and he's going to die. I mean, it's just one of the, and he has Kaiser insurance, and he needs to raise money. So I go, all right, I'm having a show. We have a fundraiser. 300 people show up. So
I heard it was packed.
I see Randy, man, like it was. One of the hardest fucking things in the world was seeing a friend who I haven't seen in months, because he's lost 30 pounds.
Wow.
He's super weak. He's kind of slowish. And I'm just like, I mean, this is like a month ago, the guy was healthy. Mm-hmm. And You know, I asked him, hey, man, how much money do you need? And he, you know, what do you need? He's like, well, he has Kaiser, but the insurance sucks. He's got to raise $70,000 minimum. We have to, he needs, you know,
right.
for this like experimental treatment. And so we had a show, but man, I actually started crying. I mean, not like bawling, but I was like, fuck, I don't know if I got to be fucking funny right now.
Right.
And then on top of that, I have the high school kids there that I used to coach and their parents. And my act isn't exactly, you know,
family friendly.
So it's like I got this guy that I just fucking saw. I got the high school kids and I'm just like, anyway, I ended up pulling it off and having a great set, making him laugh and making the people laugh. And but fuck, man, that was brutal. That was
right.
Fucking, but I mean, but then I'm up there and I'm like, look, all that matters is like this guy laughing. That's all that matters. And he's having a good time. And luckily his brother's girlfriend's sisters are all hot Mexican chicks. So I was hitting on them during the show and telling them that like they put out, I was like, you know, trying to do as much as I can to be funny. Mm-hmm. But that was really, really hard. The next night I had a show at a deli. Saturday night, a deli in
Greenblatt's.
No, it was in Huntington Beach, and literally I'm behind a deli counter telling jokes, which was fucking awesome. It was great, and they were having until a 10-year-old came, and then it was
ruined
kind of
everything.
Kind of, yeah. And I've been going to 10th Planet still, jiu-jitsu. Ever since you told Juliana Pena's going to beat me, I've actually been like, man, I think she can beat me. I need to get my fucking shit together, and. The hardest part about this jiu-jitsu class for me is, you know, I'm gassing. I'm not exactly. I'm, you know, you forget. But also, I'm taking these guys down, or I'm getting in their guards, and then just holding them. I don't. Once I get them down, I'm like,
you don't know where to go from there.
I have no idea what the fuck. I'm because the guy at 10th Planet, he's a really good teacher, but he's this guy Jared Carlston, really good teacher, but he's teaching sweeps and all and stuff, and he's like kind of high level sweeps, but I'm like, I need to know what to do when I'm in a side control, like, because I'm just holding the guy there and figuring I'm winning by points in my own head,
right.
Even though so
lay
anyway,
and pray.
I have to learn. Yeah, I'm basically laying praying. I'm getting booed in the jiu-jitsu class. I'm like the fucking Ben Askren.
Stand him up.
Yeah,
stand him up.
Dana White has cut me from fucking jiu-jitsu class for being a fucking boring wrestler. So I have to learn something. Anyway, Jake, how are you doing?
They find you during the class. Sir, when you actually need to up your... This is my first class. You said it was free.
Yeah, I've been confined to Singapore. I'm in the 1FC. I can only take classes in Singapore now. So how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Had a good weekend. It's been busy. I've been doing a lot of... Some media kind of stuff. Got some exciting stuff coming up next weekend for the UFC on Fox, and some exciting things coming up though. Doing well.
For example,
well, I can't really talk about.
I was waiting for your okay.
But no, okay, actually, a cool thing. I met a good friend of mine who's from New York City. He came in this last weekend for the Meta Morris. And I went and met him for dinner and. It ended up being Randy Couture and Mickey Rourke, and it was a good time. I got to hang out with him. Super cool guys.
Nice.
He's a big fight fan. You know, he's obviously
he's
he boxed
putting a movie together right now.
Yeah, yeah. So he was an interesting guy though. I'd never sat down and really you know got to know him. But
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but a good guy though. Big fight fan.
And T-Rex, how was your week?
It was good, man. Just hung out with Pablo Francisco a little bit, helping him write his new hour special for
How
Comedy
was that?
Central. It was cool. I mean, I've known him for years.
Like, were you doing your act, and then that was his new special?
Yeah, it was his new special. and then Saturday night, I did a show at John Lovitz, the late show at John Lovitz, and they were talking about your show the night before.
Oh, what are they saying?
They were just saying that it was like, yo, because it was hilarious, because Brett Riley put this show together on Saturday night, and he's like, yo, man, can you come do the show on Saturday? And I was like, yeah, I can go to the late show. And so I show up there, and, like, to get into Universal City was, like, there was, like, a million cars, and I'm like, oh, man, this joint might be packed. I walk in the door, and as soon as you walk in the door, you can see, like, the first row of chairs, and
yeah.
There's chairs, right? And I was like, oh, no. And then as I turn the corner, there's literally probably 20 people in there.
Well, September 6th, I'm having another fundraiser for this guy, because we've, honestly, the fundraiser we did, we raised $3,000, which is not bad. It was just, you know, $3,000, not bad. So now we're up to $5,000 for my friend.
Just gotta
Randy.
Do 25 more shows, and
we're gonna have a big one 70. September 6th. So I want at John Lovitz. So I would love to have you on
the
show.
I'll be there.
I'm trying to get Joe Rogan to do it, and trying to get Jay Moore. I'm trying to get a lot of people to do it. I'm trying to get I'm like reaching out to Russell Peter. Russell can't do it. He's in Toronto, but and you know I've been hitting up a lot of fighters to retweet the fundraiser stuff. Right. And Chris Weidman retweeted it yesterday.
Beautiful.
Frankie Edgar, Cub Swanson, Eddie Truck Gordon. That's the thing about these guys. About well, one of the reasons I love MMA is that these guys are such have such big hearts. Jake, you did. Yeah, you know, a lot of people go, "Hey, LeBron James, can you retweet this? You know, good luck." And I'm not putting down LeBron James. I'm just saying it probably has to go through a lot of people. They probably don't run their own Twitter accounts.
Right.
But the fact that these guys do that just shows how nice and how great these guys are. So speaking of Metamoris, we got to talk about that because that was I watched some of that. Josh Barnett. I think he was like paying homage to Big John Studd, the wrestler, because
Big John Studd. I haven't heard that name in 20 years at least. How hilarious!
He was wearing this fucking mankini and wrestling shoes. I mean, it looked like he had.
No, he wasn't. It looked like he had, was he really?
He was.
It looked Come like on, he had Josh. Joseph Benavidez's shorts on.
yeah.
I mean, you were there.
The plum smuggler.
Were people like, "What's going on with that?" Or
kind of. I mean, it was, you know, he took off his robe and it was kind of like people were cheering and clapping and the kids were crying. It was, yeah.
Kids were crying about it? Yeah. What, they like saw that and were crying?
Like baby crying. Yeah, I'm not sure.
What do you mean, kids?
That would be hilarious.
Wait, wait, babies were actually crying during this? Look, I'm not,
oh my
I'm not
God.
Kidding. Like,
come on.
Somebody on my Twitter wrote, who wore better? And they put that next to Dennis Hallman's Speedo.
Oh, that was, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, he won.
Oh
he beat Dean Lister, who Dean Lister is an amazing jiu-jitsu guy, which is amazing. But he did have, what, 50 pounds on him or 100 pounds on him?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sure he had a little bit. I was actually, I was in the back for a little bit. When Josh Barnett was warming up.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen this guy warm up for a fight or a grappling match, he is a mean dude. Or if you ever talk to anybody who's trained with him, it's like this guy goes to like 10. It's like, I think he almost hurt a couple guys warming up in the training partners, you know, and his coach Eric Paulson's like, "Hey, you know, Josh, calm down a little bit." But he is a competitor, man. He is a mean dude.
Yeah.
Not a guy I'd want to train with.
But. Now, everyone says this is a big win for catch wrestling. And while I don't want to, you know, basically put down how big of an accomplishment it is, he does have 100 pounds on him, doesn't he? I mean, doesn't he have at least 100 pounds on Dean Lister?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. What do they weigh? Do they say what they weighed in at? Or
no, but it just seems like he's... I mean, look, I guess Dean Lister's that good, where if a guy is that good and a guy can make him tap, first time make him tap in 10 years.
16 years,
16
actually.
Years.
Yeah,
I mean, that is quite an accomplishment. I want to get Dean Lister on the show, by the way. I'm a big fan of Dean Lister.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, in his defense, though, if he lost to Josh Barnett, you know, not to take anything away from Josh Barnett, but he was probably not just concentrating on his wrestling, but probably trying to make sure that Josh's penis didn't, like, touch him.
Yeah, I mean,
that thing looks terrible.
Didn't he win by teabag? Was that the official? that was crazy. So and then Chael actually, I was doing pretty well for a while. Correct, he hit a low single. He was in, and then like, and you know, I think he was bleeding at one point. He was bleeding EPO. Now. I'm a big Chael fan, mm-hmm. but it seems like at this point, you know, like I heard he was at Monday Night Raw on Monday, and I think that would be good for him to get into wrestling, mm-hmm. that because I feel like he's
got
kind of
personality
but he's sort of become now he's becoming like used to losing in some ways.
Oh my God!
Where he loses to, granted, he lost to one of the best jiu-jitsu guys in the world. Mm-hmm. There's no shame in that, mm-hmm. and you know, props for having the balls to do that because most guys wouldn't. At the same time, it's like, what is he gonna like challenge LeBron James in basketball? Or, you know, I mean, I still want to see Chael a winner, mm-hmm. and I kind of missed that, you know, seeing Chael a winner. And you know, at a certain point, it's like, look, if you're not going to be competitive, which he was competitive, but if you're not going to be, you're not really going to have a chance of winning. What's the point of doing this? You know,
mm-hmm. You know, the thing too about Chael is like, when you can get the support of the fans, like when you can kind of get the fans to walk with you, I mean, it almost doesn't matter whether you win or lose. Like, you know what I mean? He has such a good following.
He's the people's champ.
Exactly. It's almost like people are going to follow him no matter where he competes.
Really?
At. Yeah, he's one of the guys. He is.
Okay, all right.
But I mean, granted, it is funny. I was talking to Chael afterwards, and he was like, you know, my my first jiu-jitsu match, and I go against a 9-time world champion. He's laughing.
First jiu-jitsu matches against a 9-time. The balls he has. And I texted him after. I go, Chael, you have the biggest balls on anybody. And Chael wrote back.
Well, next to Josh Barnett.
And he wrote back, hey, I miss you, buddy. I hope your friend gets better. So, I mean, that's the kind of guy Chael is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, so there was a secret match, too, which I was, you know, which, right?
Jeff Glover,
mm-hmm. who was the announcer, against another guy. I thought the secret match should have been Ariel Helwani's nose versus 120 pounds of cocaine.
Oh, my God.
Or Drysdale versus a clean urine sample. Those would actually be more of my research. Now, listen, it's been a crazy week for MMA. Let's get to that. Crazy week. First Monday, there's a brawl, which we talked about a little bit. Then afterwards, it was released. There was, before the Sports Center, was the hot mic. Have you seen that? Mm-hmm. That they were cursing each other out.
I love that.
John Jones goes, hey, pussy, are you still there? Which I think should be a ringtone at this point. Because right. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, it is a great ringtone.
Hey, like you wake up, someone calls you, hey, pussy, you still there? Tell me you wouldn't buy that ringtone. Right. So that was sort of, but that doesn't make MMA look good at all. I mean, even though it might hype the fight, there are people out there. When I mention UFC, they go, "Oh, I don't like that," or "It's too violent," or you know.
Have you heard of the UFC
the moms against
UFC?
Yeah, that,
have you heard about
that's
this?
A big Come joke. On. It's a big joke. The moms against UFC. It's pretty
like
funny
Twitter,
though.
It's like a Twitter kind of joke. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's hilarious, and then they sign everything like the moms, right? So, so that happens. And then Josh Grispy gets arrested for beating. I guess he trained his pit bull. Allegedly trained his pit bull to attack his girlfriend, beat her up.
His wife, I believe.
His wife. Mm-hmm. And then some guy in Sports Illustrated puts him as a UFC fighter, Josh Grispy, to which Dana White responds, right. You know, he was cut 2 years ago. He's not in the UFC.
Right.
Exactly.
But people are still going to go UFC. People sure. don't know MMA fighter. They go UFC fighter. Exactly. It's just the way it goes.
Boxing is way dirtier.
Yeah. Absolutely. But boxing is sort of, in the U.S. at least, a dying sport.
Right.
You know, unless, you know, so it's... You know, boxing is legal in New York. You know, so so then to make matters even worse than that, War Machine is now on the run. Now, to give anybody, I'm going to give a backstory because I was trying to explain. I was on a date last night, like 1 a.m. I'm out with this girl, and she's like, "How was your day today?" I was like, "Well, I was making War Machine jokes." But she's like, well, who's War Machine? So I had to give her the backstory, which in essence. I was thinking about how fucked up this all this sounds. I'm like, well, there was this. So I'll just take it from the top. I go, well, there was this guy who's on The Ultimate Fighter, which is a show where people compete to they all live in a house and they fight each other to see who gets a contract. And his name was Josh Copenhaver, but he changed his name to War Machine because he wanted to have that as his nickname. But the WWE said, no, we have a guy named War Machine. So he legally changed his name to War Machine. Then he gets kicked out of the UFC because he writes on MySpace, someone should put a bullet through Obama's head or something allegedly that terrible. So then he gets kicked out of the UFC for basically being too violent. Then he becomes a male porn star. but he gets thrown out of porn because he goes to a porn party and beats up 5 porn stars, beats up a girl and 5 dudes. And I actually knew the girl that that like calmed him down, Nikki Hunter, which I called her the War Machine Whisperer because she... So he then gets blackballed from porn. So then he goes to San Diego and he goes to this gay bar and beats up a bouncer at a gay bar. And... goes to jail, and then in jail he writes this blog about how he fucks a bologna sandwich and all these crazy blogs.
He does what?
Yeah, he ended up banging a bologna sandwich in jail. That was like his thing. He had sex with a bologna sandwich. So then he gets out of jail and gets signed by Bellator, which is a struggling organization that needed a hook or whatever. So then he goes to Bellator and wins a fight, loses a fight. In the meantime, he starts dating this adult film star, named Christy Mack, who's this like very beautiful girl who's all tatted up. And ends up, they ended up going on Twitter and he starts saying how he wants to train George Zimmerman and then him and Christy Mack have this volatile relationship where you don't know if they're having sex or 1 minute he's beating her but then he's not and then he's writing on Twitter stuff about the Jews, all this stuff, right? So he ends up beating the living shit out of her and to the point where she almost dies. And come on, man.
How did he come home?
Allegedly, he ended up coming home. Mm. He was living in San Diego. He flew to Vegas and saw her with a guy. According to him and his Twitter feed, he was going to give her a ring to get married. Saw her with a girl, ends up beating the... Saw her with a guy, ends up beating up the crap out of the guy. Then he beats up her, tries to rape her, according to her, and couldn't get it hard, and then puts her into this like pool of blood. I mean, the pictures are just... it's like worse than Rihanna. There's pictures that she posted that are up there with Rihanna. I mean, just awful, 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 horrible shit. So... then my job in the MMA community is to sort of make jokes about the news, right? So, you know, obviously I don't want to make a joke where the victim is Christy Mack or domestic abuse victims. It's not really what I don't want to do that. It's not really, but I do want to make jokes about MMA. So I start writing jokes that some of the jokes that I make were like, you know, War Machine. You know, they should take War Machine and put him in a tank with a bunch of sharks and film it on Shark Week. You know, since it's Shark Week, that's one of the do. War Machine is on the run from cops in Las Vegas, expecting to gas out any minute. If War Machine plans on getting one phone call, he's going to call out Bisbing. War Machine is on the run. Word is he's on the hiding on the Bellator prelims because no one's going to see him there. You know, they should start a jail league with Lee Murray, Josh Grispy, War Machine, Mike Whitehead, Herms Franca, Reza Madaddy. Call it Convicta.
That's funny.
So I'm fucking writing jokes. People are still coming at me. People are going, hey, you know, I'm MMA roasted. Don't you have any class? And you know, it's not right to make jokes about this. And like who's the victim in the War Machine's the victim in every single joke, every single one. And it's like just because there's a word that in a joke that then could lead to something that is sort of controversial doesn't mean the joke's controversial.
Right.
It's like during the O.J. Simpson trials, was Jay Leno making O.J. jokes? Were people making Chris Brown jokes during the whole that?
Right.
That's what comedians do.
How dare you talk about Rihanna like that?
Life isn't funny. But my job is to make funny of things that aren't funny. That's not everything is a joke, and that's my job. My job is to make jokes about things that are fucked up. The world is a fucked up place. The world needs humor, and these fucking people. There's now this extreme PC that are going around telling everyone what they're allowed to laugh at. And they're going, you can't laugh at that. That's not funny. You're not allowed to make a joke about this topic. Yes, you are. You're allowed to make any joke. And you know what, people? You're allowed to then say, to get offended. You're allowed to get offended. You're allowed to tell me that I can't tell the joke. At the same time, like, we're not babies here. We're allowed to use words that may have to deal with subjects that are terrible and make light of it in a way where you're not victimizing the victim. And that's all I'm doing here. And people are coming at me and now people are going, I wonder what MMA Roast is going to say about this. Oh, MMA. And then someone says to me, oh, well, you would make a cancer joke because I wrote a thing saying I'm supporting my friend who has cancer. What am I going to say? How do I defend that? Yeah, I would make a cancer joke. Oh, you make cancer jokes? I'm not falling into your stupid fucking trap, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, if there was a joke about cancer where the victim, in my opinion, wasn't about kids with cancer, I would make it. And even if the victims were cancer, if it was funny enough to where I could see them laughing, I would make that too. But that's not the point. Mm-hmm. And people are now in this like extreme ideological system where anyway. So that being said,
the problem is too, is people are only going to hear what they want to hear, and they're only going to take things and perceive things the way they want to. So that's just
they're just hearing words.
Exactly.
But every people, we don't need to start banning words. This is, the Nazis banned books. You know, we don't need to fucking start burning books because they contain words that might be deemed offensive by certain people. If that's the case, we're all fucked. I mean, right now, there are honestly a lot of people out there dying for our freedom of speech. And to take that away from people, it's basically saying, fuck you to those people. And I don't want to do that. All right. That being said, Dog the Bounty Hunter tweeted, you're now in my world. Turn yourself in or I'm coming to get you.
Oh, God.
Yes. So the Dog the Bounty Hunter is now looking for War Machine, which I said you should put that on like Fight Pass. I would pay $10. I'd pay $20 a month to... Yeah, so that so then he writes it.
You're and now it, in my world.
It gets even weirder. And then Dr. Drew writes a hunt for MMA star. So Dr. Drew then put it on it. So now Dr. And then Jenna Jameson, who then calls Dr. Drew to talk about her friend Christy Mack, which is funny, which is crazy because Jenna Jameson's ex, her new boyfriend came on our show. Oh, no, her boyfriend's
ex-wife
was on our show, Amber Nicole Miller, who is now dating Tito Ortiz, and Jen is dating John Wood. So it's, I feel like we're somehow in the middle,
connected
to all this. All right, so that was that's what I had to tell her. So explaining all that to someone on a date of what you're doing is I'm living in time some...
I take it the day didn't go well.
It did. No, fuck
all right.
You.
All right, good. I'm glad. I'm just saying.
Because you don't get laid. That doesn't mean that, like...
Just for people hearing this story, that's just a lot to try to explain to somebody. That's wow.
Yeah, but it's
I'm glad for him.
Well, she was a comedian.
Let alone a 19-year-old.
No, she was a comedian. So I think who used to be a dominatrix.
Wait a minute. You're not going to say her name?
No. She's this comic from Texas that's like, I'm in town for a couple hours, and she's hot. And she's like, I want to meet you. So I'm like, sure. So I meet her to find out that she's like a comedian who actually loved – it's funny because when I talk about like this – like. Extreme soccer mom liberal agenda people that are going around banning jokes, she can relate to it because she's a comic. And then the fact that you bring up a fighter named War Machine and this and that, it's actually, to some people, it's like a fucking terrible movie script. And look, War Machine, if you're out there, turn yourself in, okay? What you did was fucking awful. So I'm not trying to make light of the situation. What you did was awful.
It was funny. I had a conversation when I was trying to explain to somebody a little bit of the situation. And they're like, wait, War Machine, what is that? And I'm like, no, that's his name. He changed his name. And you got to explain that. That's kind of like...
Is it her?
Yeah.
No. So okay, all right. So we're gonna. By the way, DJ, our producer, is looking up
Googling.
Dominatrix comedians.
That's her. Yeah.
Is that her?
That's her. And there's a doll out right now. You guys can't see because DJ doesn't have video. But yeah. So
hold on. Was that her?
Now? No. These are not her. I'll just tell you the girl's name in 3 seconds. Anyway.
What is this right here?
So all right. Look, this is a great show. We have Pat Cummings. We also are going to get to the hot mic. We'll talk more about that between Cormier.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about Marina Shafir's loss, which Jake was at. And we are going to go over the fights this week. UFC Fight Night in Maine. Ryan Bader versus OSP, the main event. Bunch of people on that card that we got to talk about. But first, let's get to Pat Cummings. And thank you for listening so far. Our guest is a guy with quite possibly the biggest balls in the world. He was an All-American wrestler. He's won his last two fights. He took a fight with Daniel Cormier.
National champ, actually.
What?
National champ.
He's a national champion? No, he's not.
Runner-up.
Took second in the country.
Talking about,
I thought you knew this guy, Jake. What happened?
I just met him.
Took second in the country. So Pat Cummings is with us. Pat Cummings, man, how the fuck are you, buddy?
Hey. Well, you know, I feel pretty good. I feel good. I'm ready to get back into training, though. I've kind of had, like, 2 weeks off. I'm ready to get back in there. I don't know what to do if I'm not fighting.
Yeah. Well, a little backstory on me and Pat's relationship. So I used to go to Legends, and I remember one time there was – Eddie Bravo was training this guy named Eric Bradley, who he was just this amazing, amazing wrestler. I mean, I've gone up against some good wrestlers in my life. Probably Todd Beckerman being the best. I don't even know who Todd Beckerman is. He was
I know Todd Beckerman very well. Yeah.
So Todd Beckerman was a 4-time All-American wrestler, and I went up against him at camp, and he kicked my ass. The only guy that I've ever felt as helpless against was this guy named Eric Bradley, who was Pat Cummings' friend at Penn State. Now, Pat and Eric, I always wonder what the fuck happened to Eric Bradley. This guy was such an amazing wrestler. I find out he ends up going to jail with Pat Cummings for raiding dorm rooms. Correct?
this is what we're talking about?
Yes, we're talking.
Yeah. All right, let's go.
All right, so no, we're gonna start from the beginning. Okay, so you get out of college, you're kicking ass. You then go back to Penn State. You go into a bunch of dorm rooms. You steal a bunch of shit, and you do a year in jail. Do you have the worst lawyer in the freaking world?
Right, my cousin Vinny.
We did have the worst lawyer ever, but it wasn't the dorm rooms. It was fraternity houses, which doesn't really make it sound any better. Just to clarify the story.
So you didn't actually hurt anybody. You didn't beat anybody up. You basically stole some frat boy letters and like sweaters and stuff, and had to do a year in prison.
I mean, it was kind of a joke. I mean, we didn't go to prison. We went to county jail in like rural Pennsylvania, and they gave us work release, so we could like basically all we had to do was sleep in jail. So it was just kind of like, I don't know, everybody just thought of it as like, man, you guys don't really need to be here, but this is kind of the way things worked out, so here you go.
That still sucks.
I mean, it sucks still, you know, because it was like, you know, my clock was ticking, you know, I wanted to go do what I wanted to do, you know, I screwed up for sure, you know, I'm willing to pay for it, but I just kind of thought that was a little expensive.
A little harsh.
Well, it's harsh. You got guys out there who like murder people and do no time. You know, you got guys out there who stab people and, you know, rape people. And then you go out there and raid a couple, pull a dorm room prank and have to be in a work release thing. A guy who was second in the country in wrestling. It's just fucking nuts. It's baffling. Now, did anybody test you in jail?
That was my next question.
Any fights?
Nah, man. It was so relaxed. There was none of that.
Like a country club, right?
I was actually in the same place at the same time when Jerry Sandusky was getting all that whole trial was going on. So he was in the same place with me, but I never.
Oh no!
I was never near him. So
did you guys never took showers together? You and Sandusky?
Yeah, I never had to.
Didn't you go to Penn State?
I did. Yeah.
So I mean, was it like a reunion for you and Sandusky?
Yeah, I mean, I was like, "Hey, bro, what's up? I don't know. We're both wrongly accused. What's up with that?"
That's crazy.
I don't know, man. It was definitely a crappy experience. You know, it was like,
no, I remember
the whole time you're kind of like, you know, you just feel like, man, I'm getting treated so poorly. You know, I don't know. They're like everything, like you said, everything was really harsh. Like it was so harsh, and all the people that were around me, you know, like my college coaches and everything like that, they're all, you know, they knew me really, they probably knew me the best out of anybody. And they all kind of, like, as soon as that happened, they just turned their back on me. They're like, we can't have anything to do with this guy. So it was kind of bullshit, you know. But I guess it was good, you know, I look back on it now, and I'm kind of like, you know what, I'm actually kind of glad that happened, because I, you know, it kind of filtered some people out of my life that I know really, you know, really don't believe in me, really don't, you know, won't stand up for me, or don't, you know, wouldn't give me a second chance, and they, you know, they know who I am, so I'm kind of glad for that, and, it's kind of shaped me into who I am.
Yeah, well, then you get out of prison, and then you go right to Mayhem. I remember you were prison. Living with you were.
It's not prison, bro. Prison's like when you do something like you kill somebody. Well, now I'm getting death row.
He went to a country club in Pennsylvania.
In my mind, it was prison. It was like Shawshank Redemption.
He was playing shackles.
Cricket. He was playing cricket and table tennis. It was a country club.
It was Morgan Freeman was talking about. Pat Cummings and Eric Bradley. Wait, so okay, so then you get out, right? Now then you're living with Mayhem, which has got to be worse than prison, right? So
no, I mean, at the time it was good, you know. He was showing me the ropes, and you know, he was my buddy. He was I mean, I don't know. He really helped me out, cuz I was in a spot where, like, this, you know, I want to come train and do everything like that, but I don't really have a job. I don't have much money. I just spent all my money on the worst lawyer in the world and, you know, paying clients and all this other crap. So, you know, staying in his place and just kind of like, I needed his help, and he was there for me, and I appreciate that. Just, you know, some things happened later on with him that were kind of messed up.
No, I remember.
I don't know if we're getting into that.
No, I remember going to parties. I remember going to parties at Mayhem's house, and you were there, and I'm looking at you, and you had this face of like, I love Mayhem, but this is the most bizarre experience in my entire life. I mean, he's running around naked, and fireworks are going off, and there's Asian women everywhere. It was...
Yeah. Yeah, and eventually it got to a point where I was like, okay, like, I can't be in this situation anymore. It's not good for me. So I figured something else out.
But you were staying with him when he was naked in a church, right?
No, you know, I left like probably a week before that because I could see the writing on the wall. He was just acting off, you know, he was a little off.
No, I remember seeing him.
I ended up leaving and yeah, like a week later he was arrested for...
I think I saw you a week before that. I was at that party, remember when Mayhem threw candy at my dog and my dog bit him in the face? And I was like sitting there.
He threw candy at your dog.
He threw candy at me and it hit my dog in the face. And then he comes over to my dog and he's like, sorry, dog. My dog bit him like three times and then took a shit in his kitchen.
nice.
Danny gave your dog a bonus.
I thought I ended up cleaning that up.
Yeah.
Don't shit where you eat.
Pat Cummings is cleaning up the shit. But by the way, Mayhem, listening to this, I love Mayhem. And I'll be friends with Mayhem forever. And I'm sure you will, Pat. There's something about Mayhem that he's got a huge heart as you know, bizarre as his life gets sometimes. Now, that being said, so now you're fighting and I remember at the time you were 4-0, but nobody wanted to fight you. You're kind of broke, you're working at a coffee house. You then call out Daniel Cormier. And now that whole experience, do you regret calling him out?
No, not at all. You know, I think, and I still think under different circumstances, I still think I can win that fight. It's just, you know, it was just kind of the wrong timing. But you know what? I feel like I learned a lot from that situation. You know, at first I was like, man, this fucking sucks. You know, I haven't lost before. This is what it feels like. I don't know. I don't know if I can deal with this. But then I took some good out of it. I got a really, really good experience. You know, not a lot of people, you know, well, fuck, nobody has that kind of experience. You know, nobody comes from working at a coffee shop and then, you know, being a co-main event on a pay-per-view card. That just doesn't happen. So I had to take some positives from it. You know, I learned what it's like to be in the spotlight, you know, do all that media, you know, just be put through the ringer in 9 days' time and then be expected to perform. So I took a lot from it and I learned a lot. And I think I've been applying that to my, you know, my most recent fights. And I think I've been, you know, I'm growing. I'm better for it.
I mean, was it Dan's power? Have you ever been hit like that hard before?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's all kind of like I didn't really feel it like that. I just kind of lost my focus and didn't really know what was happening. So I mean, I guess people would say, yeah, you probably just got hit really hard. But you know, my memory of it is probably different than everyone else's.
But like that night when you're like, okay, you're like by yourself. You just got beat by Daniel Cormier. You talked a lot of smack. You got all these fucking idiots on the internet yelling at you and saying shit. Are you just like, man, I was in over my head? Or were you just like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm coming back. Did you have to give yourself that pep talk?
Yeah, you know, I just had to... Well, you know, you second guess yourself. You know, you think... You know, you go into something like that and you think, oh, man, you know, I've never lost before. I feel like no matter what happens, I'm tougher than anybody else. I can go do this. And then, you know, you get rocked and you don't, you know, in my head, I didn't think, I was like, oh, you know, I have a really good chin, you know, nothing can faze me. I'll take a lump and, whatever, I'm just going to be that guy that's tough and hangs in there and drags his fight out. But yeah, you know, it was a big surprise. And afterwards I was just kind of like, I'm not going to be right. I'm not going to be myself again until I go out and win a fight and start clawing my way back up. So, and you know, the next couple months were rough, until I was actually, you know, able to get that next fight. And, you know, I just felt like I had something to prove to myself, not really anybody else. You know, all the people that are, you know, online or whatever, would, you know, have their two cents and want to be, you know, want to piss somebody off. Sure, I don't care. You know, you can say whatever you want. I'm not proving anything to those people. It's about me.
No, I get it.
I need to prove it to myself and, you know, kind of reassure myself that this is the path I'm supposed to be taking.
No, dude, I give you a lot of credit, man, because I know my job is to make jokes about MMA, and this was a perfect fucking storyline to make jokes about, how, you know, the fight got over, how the fight got over espresso, and, you know, left and right. And, you know, I was saying all this stuff. At the same time, I don't know anybody with the balls to call out a guy who's ranked number 2 or 3 in the world on a week notice. And then after that, I would say most people who got knocked out in one round would say, or not stopped one round, would say, you know what, fuck this, to then come back and win your next two fights. So, you know, I give you a ton of admiration and respect. And I think anybody who doesn't is a fucking idiot. Because, I mean, the balls that you have. I even said during your last fight that Kyle Kingsbury said he wanted the wrong barista. He actually called that a different barista. So I mean, you got nothing. Yeah. You got nothing to hang your head over, man. I would. I'm actually. And by the way, so a lot of people are calling you Chael 2.0. Other people are. You know, it's funny because Ellenberger and other guys at like your gym, they were actually picking you against Cormier. They were saying that you have a legitimate shot based on the fact that you beast everybody at the gym.
Yeah, I mean, I've proven myself in the gym, and people are just like, dude, when are you getting your shot? And, it, you know, it's kind of funny how, you know, the way it worked out. people might call me crazy, you know, they have challenged for a title right now, but I still think I can go. I think I can go in there and beat him. Like I truly believe that. And I think, you know, if I have a full camp to work and get myself, you know, right and you know, in the right place and go compete. I mean, I really think I can come out on top. And I think, you know, everybody probably thinks that's, everybody that's listening to this is probably like, dude, this guy's out of his fucking mind.
No, I mean, the problem too is people just like to read fights on paper, and it's like, you know, listen, like I can justify the same exact reason. Like I've won fights that I shouldn't have won. I've lost fights that I shouldn't have lost. It's all about, you know, opportunity and putting the right strategy together. It's like, you know, yeah. And people thought I was crazy when I said Robbie Lawler's a tougher fight than Johnny Hendricks when Johnny Hendricks is the champ. It's like, okay, you can talk to me that I'm crazy, but there's more ways to beat Johnny than there's Robbie. I mean, it's just styles.
MMA mathematics don't always add up.
Exactly.
Now, are you going to get your tea sponsored by The Gap?
Yeah, definitely. I'm working on that. Do you have any connections?
Oh, I also have my friend who's missing also. I have a flipper, so I can relate. I'm part of the me, you, and
Nick. Maybe we could be a package deal somehow.
Absolutely.
Get a group rate, a Groupon.
Didn't that come out once when you were?
Yeah, I was going down on a chick one time, and it came
Please
out.
Tell me you're doing.
No, it did. And then I was like, I was going down on a girl, and then I just like I came back up, and my tooth was gone. And I was gone. Like, you got to clean your vagina. Like this is fucking knocking my shit out.
her massive vagina swallowed your vagina.
No, it just kind of it kind of came loose. I could feel it coming loose, so
it,
I kind of
got lost in the wizard sleep.
I could feel it coming loose, so I took it out myself while I was down there, and then came back up with no tooth missing, and I was like, "The fuck happened to your vagina?" And she was like, "Ah!" Like I thought she was gonna
stop flexing your clit.
Stop biting me.
I was like, you better pee that out in an hour.
Oh my god.
It was crazy.
Imagine if she left it in there. The next dude having sex with her pulls out his Johnson and there's a tooth on it.
Oh god. Vagina NATO.
I'm gonna have to give that a try.
Now
you're inspiring me right now.
No, but you should definitely do that. Now your last fight you won the frap of the night. Pat. Recently you said that you called out Anthony Johnson and John Jones. Would you please elaborate on this?
Yeah, you know, it kind of got boiled out of proportion, but I'll explain it to you. Somebody asked me in an interview, said, "Hey, what do you think about, you know, you were on the same card as Anthony Johnson. He put on a pretty good show, blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "Yeah, you know." And they said, "Well, how do you think you match up with him?" So, I'm a person that, you know, I'm a confident person, and I'm like, "Hey, listen, I think, you know, all respect to him. He did a great job tonight. You know, he put away a guy that's really tough and, you know, in the first round." And I just said, "But you know what? I still think that he's a guy that has conditioning issues. You know, even though he's at a different weight class, I still think he has conditioning issues. He's a super explosive, dangerous guy, but I don't think he's been tested into the second and third rounds since he's been at 205. And that, just saying that, everybody's like, "Oh, you call it, you know, they wrote this whole story that I'm calling out Anthony Johnson," which, I mean, I know it's not a realistic fight. It's, you know, I'm sure in, you know, maybe in a year's time, sure, that could happen. But I'm not expecting to go fight Anthony Johnson in my next fight. You know, everybody just, you know, the idiots on Twitter keep, always come back to me.
What about John Jones? Did you say that you wanted to fight him?
Oh, yeah, it was some quote that he had. They asked me about some quote that he said about DC. He said, "Well, listen, you beat some washed up wrestler Dan Henderson, and then you beat some guy off the street, the barista. You know, these guys are nothing like me." And I was like, "Okay, you know," and all I said was, "I'm cool with if John Jones wants to overlook me. That's great. You know, he go right ahead, but I feel like at some point that's going to catch up with him." And, you know, I'll stand behind that statement, but it's not, you know, I'm not like, "Hey, I'm going to fight these guys," you know, like I'm pissed off at them. I don't care.
It's way more fun though when like you call out Jones and Anthony. I got to say these things make total sense, but it's so funny when Pat Cummings calls out
You guys know how the media works. You know, you're answering a question, and it becomes, I'm making a statement of, "All right, I want to fight all these guys," and whatever. Right. I don't care. You know, people are going to think what they're going to think. And whoever my next fight is, you know, shame on them. They're getting put in a bad spot.
I like that. Shame on you for now, by the way, do you and Eric Bradley still talk?
I just talked to Eric Bradley not too long ago.
How's he doing?
He has, I will say, well, he still has the best hair in MMA, which I don't even know. I'm not sure if he's really still, if he's still fighting or not, but he's good. You know, he told me he's a vegan now, he's really into black girls.
He's in the black girls. He had
him, like, and Anthony Johnson should hang out.
Yeah,
they could get each other's girls.
He had some legit wrestling. Now, were you teammates with Phil Davis?
I was, yeah.
Are you and Phil close?
I was a couple years older. No, I'm not real close with Phil. I think there's kind of like there's weird tension there. You know,
same weight class. You know, that whole thing.
What's this tension about?
Yeah. You know, there's a possibility that we could fight. I'm cool with it, but I think he's.
I would love to see that fight.
That kind of weirds him out a little. You know?
You guys have that whole Sandusky connection, yeah, that would be a good fight. You know, I mean, honestly, Pat, watching your last two fights and what people talked about you, and actually everyone that has trained with you, you know, from Mayhem to Chael to Jake on.
you know, the people that train with you were giving you a legitimate shot against Cormier. The thing is that your style, which is now, it's kind of, you're a grinder. You get in there, you take these guys down, you pound on them. Are you working on submissions or on, like, power from the top to stop these guys to make your job a little easier and get these guys out quicker?
Yeah, definitely. That's been our focus now since we've regrouped after the fight is, you know, to start looking at ways, a couple more go-to ways to finish. You know, I find myself in certain situations quite a bit, and I need to be able to capitalize on those. So, yeah, I've been working on some submissions. I've been rolling around with Fabricio, getting him ready for his big fight, and you know, we're helping each other out. So. Work on that, and then I really want to get my stand-up game more on point. You know, I feel like it's more just feeling comfortable in that situation than anything else. I feel like I have the tools. I'm not, you know, I don't feel like I'm awkward, Mr. Awkward Striker guy, but it's just you know, I need more fights and more experience, and that's going to get me more comfortable.
Now, when you had Schaub in your corner for your last fight, did he mention to you that he was friends with Tim Tebow during the fight?
That he was what?
Friends with Tim Tebow during the fight, or was he giving you actual advice?
No, he was giving me actual advice. He's pretty good. He gets a little excited in the corner, but no, he's good to have there. I need a big body with me to warm up with, and you know, he's a good dude.
Now,
a good training partner, man.
Now, are you getting a ton of? I know you were in jail for a year.
Here we go.
Are you getting a ton of Orange County puss to make up for it?
no, not really.
Come on.
None of you Orange County what? Dudes are getting any.
He's
you
like,
and
not
Jake.
A ton.
You're not getting any of Brendan Schaub's, like, you know, girls.
Fall-offs.
Fall offs.
I don't really need that in my life. It's too much. It's like a full time job.
Really? So you're not getting any puss?
What's that?
You're not getting any tail. This is bullshit.
I know. It's a full time job, but it's a job that's fun to punch into.
Come on, you're a good looking guy. You have no tooth. You know, there's no way that Pat Frapp isn't fucking cleaning up.
Ask Jake Ellenberger. We were out the other night.
Oh really? What happened?
Jake,
what happened with you and Pat Frapp? Did you guys?
Jake, what happened? What happened, Jake?
What happened? Which
he probably doesn't know because he went home. He went home before I did because he had something better to do.
Wow!
What? Oh, are you holding out on us, Jake? Bro, what?
No,
Jake?
He broke the streak. This is crazy.
Let me find out his virginity was a lie this whole time.
Wow. I don't know if you listen to our show, Pat, but Jake has not gotten laid for 9 straight months. And you're telling me, you're telling us.
Hey, listen.
What was his name?
I don't know the details.
Jake, who is this?
I'm hoping he can fill in the blanks there.
Wait, what happened, Jake?
Let's just say the war machine almost killed him. I'm just kidding, Jake.
Wait,
I'm joking.
So Jake, what was this?
I had a few friends in town, and you know, we went out and we had a good time. It was, you know, not a big deal really. We had a couple, we had a green tea and a coffee.
Pat, on 1 to 10, what did this girl look like?
Oh, that's actually pretty good. She was like, I would give her high eight.
Wow. Now was she a Java chip or a mocha latte or what exactly? How would you describe this girl?
she had a lot of whipped cream on top. That's all.
Wow. That's Jake Ellenberger hooked up with a solid 8. Wow.
High eight. That's
high eight.
That might be considered a 9.
Well, that's good because that's what he's ranked. No, wow, that's crazy. All right. Jake, good for you.
Jake, what's the story, man? You got a
story.
I had some friends in town, and we had a really good time. Come on, man.
Yeah, no, it was fun. We hung out. You know, we went
we shared a cappuccino, you know, that was it. It wasn't a
shared a cappuccino.
I'm not sure the story you're looking for. I don't
Who made it. The cappuccino?
Wow. Jake put some fucking whipped cream on those titties.
It's all assumption on my part. Are you saying that I'm assuming incorrectly?
Now, was she a model? Was she a fighter? Was she a... What did she do?
Which friend are we talking about?
Oh, come on, Jake, you are the worst.
No, not a
fucking guy. Seriously, man, you turn this hot fucking Jake Ellenberger porno into a fucking stupid novel that nobody wants to read. Seriously, we have a witness of you getting ass. You have not gotten ass.
He didn't say that.
Allegedly.
He saw me out with a female friend.
Oh, God.
Jumping to conclusions here.
The worst.
He's jumping to conclusions.
Yeah, yeah.
Jake the mayor.
The mayor.
All right. Well, listen, Pat. So, all right, who are you calling out next besides for the people that are online at Starbucks? No, who are you calling out next?
Dave, your drink is on the
counter. I just want somebody that, you know, that's ranked higher than me. I just want to keep, I want to keep.
That's 90% of the UFC. No.
Yeah, of course. But you know what? It's tough. It's tough because, you know, they match up guys that are, you know, both coming off wins. And so, and 205 is a pretty small weight class. So.
All right.
I don't know. There's a couple of options out there, but I don't know who they're going to give me.
Well, listen, whoever they give you is in trouble because you got solid wrestling, you got solid this, you've been to Rikers Island for a year, and there's nobody, I'm telling you, man, you're a badass dude, and you honestly got screwed by the law, and I honestly felt terrible for you, and a lot of guys turned their back on you. You came back the hard way, you lived with mayhem, you were living in his closet, I remember, you were training every day, working at a fucking thing, and then you called out the number two guy in the fucking world, and you know what, you were beating him for a good 18 seconds. So honestly, and you won your last two fights. I am a fucking Pat Cummings fan for life. Follow me on Twitter, because I always fucking hit you up on Twitter. You never follow me back.
All right. I'm just listening. I'll do that.
Pat,
I didn't know who you were. I was like,
MMA Roasted. MMA Roasted.
I thought you were somebody from like back in my jail days.
All right. So okay, we're gonna.
Hey,
all right. So we're
Pat,
gonna
really quick.
Go
did you win the U.S. Open? Wasn't I could have sworn there was like a World Team U.S. Open, something like that. Like how was?
I won a couple freestyle tournaments. None of the big ones. I was on the national team a couple of times.
National team. I mean, that's.
Oh, no, he's legit.
No, oh, no, you know what you're thinking of? Real Pro Wrestling. You guys remember Real Pro Wrestling?
Oh,
Real Pro.
With King Mo and.
Yes.
Those guys.
Yeah, I was the Real Pro Wrestling champion, believe it or not.
Now, all right, so.
So I was right.
All right, I'm going to name 8 guys ranked higher on you. You tell me which guy you want the most. Glover Teixeira, Anthony Johnson, Phil Davis, Hendo, Bader, Mauricio, OSP, Jimmy Manoa, Rafael Cavalcante, Belfort, and Little Nog. Who do you want?
Wow. I'd like to fight Jimmy Manoa. Some people, a lot of people on Twitter have been bringing him up. I think it'd be a good matchup
Ryan
for me.
Bader?
Jimmy Manoa.
Number 11.
Number 11. Put Pat
number
right
11,
up there.
Yeah. I want to break into the top 10 before the end of this year. I don't know if that's possible, but...
Anything's possible, man. Hey, I guarantee when you were working at Starbucks and you were like, I'm going to fight Daniel Cormier next month, that wasn't possible. So,
yeah.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, I said, no whip.
You never know.
Back in the window.
Well, you got 3 fans here. We'd love to have you in studio anytime, man. You're a great dude.
Pat.
And where can people find you?
At Official Durkin, pretty much on everything.
Official Durkin.
So.
Official Durkin.
Official Durkin, yeah. OfficialDurkin.com, at Official Durkin on Twitter and Instagram, and Facebook.com/OfficialDurkin.
Well, thanks a lot, Pat, and have a great rest of the day.
Patrick.
I'm honored. Always good to hear your voice. I'll be sure to follow you on Twitter now.
Thanks,
with Twitter friends.
Cappuccino Cummins.
Thanks, brother.
Hey.
Wait, what did you say? What was it?
What?
Those days, that's my past, bro. Don't forget my past.
Pass. What did you say? The coffee bean? What was it?
Oh, the bean of mean? Or
yeah,
something
you're
like
the
that.
Bean. You're the bean of mean.
I like it.
The bean of mean.
Right, well, take care, brother.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, guys.
Later.
Thanks a lot. Jake. Later. Always good to hear your voice.
See you, bro.
All right, that was the Bean of Mean.
Talk to you guys. Thanks, man.
Yep.
Later.
The Bean of Mean, Pat Frapp.
The Bean of Mean.
He's the badass barista. I like that guy.
You know what? I got a lot more respect for him now that we talked to him. You know, because like he always came off like super cocky, and now I can tell that he's like a humble guy, and he was just trying to get hype behind the fight.
Dude, when I met him, he was the most humble, like laid back, almost like stonerish,
right?
Like just relaxed dude.
He is. He's really chill, like really humble. You know, that it's kind of funny because that's really not like his personality. He's not a guy who's like in your face and call people out kind of guy. But.
So when you were watching all that hype that he was and smack that he was talking for the Daniel Cormier fight, were you like, did you know that was like not really him? Were you like, what is he doing?
Yeah, well, you know, I was
or
like,
you knew what he was doing. But.
Yeah, I knew what he was doing. I didn't know the backstory, right. and you know, it's definitely a little bit go for him a little bit against the grain for sure, but yeah, he's a good guy.
I couldn't believe it was the same guy. I was like, man, this is not the guy that I met, like that I've talked to for like hours on end at Mayhem's. Like, it's just a cool, and you know,
he's one of those guys too. Like, he's a super cool, like down to earth guy, real humble. And then when you train with him, it's a different guy. It's like he's a switch. He's not a, you know, he's a killer. He really is. You should come down and watch him train.
Thank you, Pat Cummings.
Patrick.
So, Jake, you said you just came from Rain?
Rain Training Center.
Who are some of the guys you're training with over there?
You know, Bisping's actually getting ready to leave his fight, I believe, next couple weeks here. But yeah, he's been pretty consistent.
Now, what is it? Wrestling class? Is it jiu-jitsu class?
No, Tuesday's sparring. So it's they do strictly. So they'll do striking rounds and then do MMA rounds.
So you sparred today?
No, I did not spar today.
What did you do today?
I was training. Yeah, I was drilling, doing some stuff, some footwork.
Now, have you been sparring with Bisping?
No, I haven't.
Have you been rolling with Bisping or hanging with Bisping?
No, I mean he's been in there when I've been. You know, I've seen him. We've talked and stuff, but I've been watching him train though. He's a very intense individual. So,
who are the guys that you're training with?
I was training with a couple guys, Matt Lopez. He's like one of the wrestling coaches, so we do a lot. We're working on some specific stuff, more upper body, clinch kind of stuff. And Raja Shippen, he's a Muay Thai guy, but a great striker.
I have a question. Like, so are you ever rolling with someone like an unknown guy or like a new guy or whatever, and they catch you in a submission and you tap, and you're just like, fuck, I just tapped to a guy that like. It, you know, is a purple belt or you know something? What you're a brown belt or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm at tap. Does that ever discourage you?
Not really. I mean, you know, when I go up to the Gracie Academy, you know, you have so many different styles of guys. Guys who go for foot locks and ankle locks, and it's like, you know, it's just one of those things you gotta check your ego. You know what I mean? You get tap. But especially like when I go with Hiron and Henner Gracie, like they're like the best guys to roll with because like if you catch them, you know they tap, you know, they'll make you work, but it's always learning from, you know, how to get in this position, how to work out of it.
Are they
but,
going 100%?
Usually, yeah. It depends. Sometimes they'll kind of flow. Yeah, when they do go 100%, it's...
Ridiculous.
It really is. It blows you away.
How do you think you would do, Adam?
I would tap while signing up for the class. As I was giving my $20, I would tap. I'd be like, how would I do? What kind of fucking question is that?
Well, you know, you've been over at GoCore, you know that. You know,
oh, yeah. How would Jake do following Billy Burr at the fucking...
Yeah, I'd do great.
At the Laugh Factory. These are the best guys in the world.
I'd trip up the stairs and headbutt the floor.
I mean, maybe in a high school wrestling match, I would do well against these guys, but it's a different art form, yeah. You know? And that was the thing with Mac Danzig when I rolled with Mac, and Mac tapped me like my first class like 5 times in 5 minutes, and I was like so fucking frustrated. And he's like, "Dude, if this is high school wrestling. You would have beaten me." You know, it's a different art form.
That's the thing too. You know, even when you train with other people, it's just like it's looking at the bigger picture. You know what I mean? Like, how can I learn from? There's a difference between rolling with somebody who's trying to hurt you and somebody who's just trying to submit you. Because it's like, you know, there's a different flow. You flow, you know, I get caught in arm locks, chokes, triangles, whatever.
Who are guys trying to hurt you?
Just when you go with guys who are like real new, you know, they're like, oh shit, I'm gonna prove myself kind of thing. Like, it doesn't happen very often because there's a pretty good energy at the Gracie Academy. Sometimes at Rain, you get some new guys coming in and they'll try to... You know, because for me, that's why I'm really selective who I train with. Because when you guys are just trying to hurt you, then it's like, all right, now
now I'm gonna hurt you. Like,
so you hurt them back?
Oh yeah. It doesn't have like a King's MMA too. They spar really hard. And there's
a guy comes in and goes, I'm gonna tap Jake Ellenberger so I could tell all my friends that I tap Jake Ellenberger, and then you make sure they go home in like a body bag.
And then William Zabka comes out of nowhere.
Put him in a body bag, Jake. Put him in a body bag, virgin. So.
It's probably only happened like a couple times, you know, in the last year. But it's more like when we're sparring, you know what I mean? There's kind of a rhythm, there's kind of a flow when you spar. You know, it's, again, you're not trying to just kill somebody. It's not a street fight. So it's like there's guys that come in and they're literally just trying to knock you out. And that's when it's like, again, I don't spar with guys that I don't know.
There was a guy yesterday, I was at 10th Planet Burbank, and some guy came in and you couldn't tell. He had a tattoo that said 100% on his neck, and he was
really?
He was all tatted up, and you couldn't tell if he was going to be a badass or just the biggest poser in the fucking world. Because I've seen that. Like, I've rolled with guys that have like they're all tatted up, and they have like spider tattoos on their elbows and tribal band tattoos, and then they have like Fear the Reaper tattooed on their fucking lower crotch, you know, and and they absolutely suck. And you're just like, and in a way, you're not happy that you're beating them, but you're like, man, maybe you should have took a lesson before you got the tats, you know. But like, this guy was legit. Like, he legitimately, you could tell he's been around. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I'm like, hey, are you a pro? And he's like, well, I used to do it back before it was UFC, when it was NBH. I was like,
NHB.
Oh, NHB. Yeah. No holds barred.
No holds barred.
Yeah, and I was like, oh wow, this guy. He's like, yeah, I fought in blah, 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 you know, backyard fighting league. And I was like, well, okay, this guy seems like he's actually legit. Now, speaking of legit, a girl who is legit, who lost her first fight that you were at, Marina Shafir, sort of a shock in the MMA world because, mm-hmm. you know, she's a girl who is famous. One of the reasons she's famous, she's Ronda Rousey's best friend. They trained together. They did, I guess, the Worlds together. They're both judo stars, and she fought. You know, she's been vocal as of late. She said that she wants to fight Cyborg in a year. She's only had one pro fight, won all her amateur fights by first round armbar, and got stopped in 39 seconds last week against a girl that was 1-2. But who also had a TKO victory over Jessamyn Duke. You were there. Mm-hmm. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, you know, she her opponent was real. She was real kind of like kind of reckless a little bit, and it's you know, she got caught coming in, and like I said, the girl pretty much, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, anybody can get caught. She got caught and got stopped. So, you know, unfortunately, it happens. But
now, part of me thinks that this might be the best thing for her, because a lot of times people, they don't know that they can be stopped until they've been stopped. You know, it's like what Pat was saying, where I thought my chin was indestructible until you get stopped, and maybe Marina, her next fight will be a little bit, keep her hands a little higher, so she doesn't get caught. You know, that happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, saying that you want to fight Cyborg after one fight is probably not the best thing. You know, you shouldn't be thinking about Cyborg after one fight. It's good to have goals, but think about the girl that you're fighting tomorrow. And I'm not saying Marina wasn't doing this. Mm-hmm. I don't know Marina. We're supposed to have her on this week. Obviously, she needed some time. She said she probably wouldn't be the best guest. And look, a girl like that suffering her first loss, have all the time you want.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just the reality. You know, we're competing in the you know, arguably the toughest sport on the planet. So it's all you can do is really take what you can in a positive light and move forward. I mean, like you said, you learn a lot more from a loss than a win. And I know it's kind of cliche because people say it all the time, but it's so true, because until you get put on the, you know, put on the edge and or, you know, you suffer a loss like that, you learn a lot about yourself.
Now, no disrespect to your gym and the guys training over at Glendale, but a lot of people are now, you know, hopping on this Edmund bashing bandwagon on the forums, and mm-hmm. granted, they're not at the gym with you, but they're looking at, you know, your loss and Marina's loss and now Jessamyn's loss and you know, other people, Manny's loss when he was with them. What do you have to say to those people?
To those people, go fuck yourself. That's what I would say to those people. No, but reality is listen, there's not a common denominator. Like, the people always trying to find an easy excuse or a reason of why things happen. Guess what? In this sport, you can't, you know what I mean? Like when Pat says, I could beat Daniel Cormier, yeah, sure, people probably aren't going to believe him, but could he? Absolutely. You know what I mean? You look at a guy like...
You have to believe that. Yeah. You're going to thinking that you can't, you already beat yourself.
Exactly. People put all these stipulations in MMA, you know, if I train this way, if I do this, if I flip some tires, I hit, you know, I hit the freaking bag right. No, you know, there's not, things don't work out how they should. It's just the reality of the sport. It's unpredictable.
Well, I mean, I look at you and like I look at a guy who's trained with Pat Miletich, mm-hmm. trained with Rafael Cordero, trained over at Reign with Mark Munoz, mm-hmm. you trained over at Team Quest, and now you're with Edmund, and you say the guy's a good coach. Like
phenomenal coach.
And now, if I'm a guy who's been in all those places, and you're saying the guy's a good coach, I have to assume yeah. that you know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, the thing too is, I mean, like I said, even with coaching, you know, you look at coaches that are really good in certain areas, and then you got guys that are well-rounded coaches, and it's like everybody has good coaches. It's whatever works for you. It's whatever, you know, whoever you click with, whatever you know. And honestly, I can say Edmund's probably one of the best coaches I've ever seen, and. You know, whether people try to, you know, put reasons and stuff in things like that, but it's, you know, believe what you want to believe, you know.
Well, there's a lot of Ronda bashing because of, you know, Ronda has the same attitude that you have. You don't like me, go fuck yourself. And that's probably why she's the best in the world. Mm-hmm. Because, look, if you're one of these people that, oh, well, you know, like maybe, you know. Yeah, you, it's like, in a, to me, your stubbornness is kind of, in MMA and comedy, anything, you have to be stubborn. It's just the way it has to go. You have to have that. That's why people don't retire when they should. That's why Jens Pulver loses 6 in a row and still thinks he can fight. You know, that's just the way you have to be a stubborn human being.
And then the media, they're the quickest people to judge. You know what I mean? If it's like, if everybody in the gym would have won their last fight, it'd be like, they'd be like, holy shit, this guy's, you know, this well, guy's the best. Well, and
the point I was trying to make also is that when you have Ronda Rousey and these girls holding up the number 4 as the 4 horsewomen, it's going to annoy a lot of people because, number one, a lot of time people would want to bang some of those horsewomen, they can't. And there's also a certain arrogance behind it. There's a certain wrestling type thing behind it. You know, there's a certain thing of like, we're cooler than you type thing. And that's... That rubs people the wrong way. Other people think it's great. They go, fuck, go for it. Look, would I wear a 4 horsewoman t-shirt? Probably, sure. Sure, why not? Well, you know, would I dress up as a dancing bear and like do their party? Absolutely. Listen, but... we are going to break down the big fight this Saturday night from Maine. I'm kind of upset that I'm not there. I went to high school in Maine. I would love to have been there. There's some good fights.
Dana White's from?
Dana White has a house in Maine. He actually
was from Boston.
He grew up in Maine, and he told me he like bought the whole block for his like family, and he like showed me pictures of the whole block he owns in Maine. he's very proud of that, which is awesome. Dana White's he's a great guy. With some good fighters, good fights on that. Sarah McMahon is on the Fox Sports 2 prelims. And it's crazy that Sarah McMahon's last fight was against Ronda Rousey in the main event. So she went from the main event to the Fox Sports 2 prelims. It's kind of a fall from grace, but, you know, the good thing about the women's division is that you can get right back up to the main event. Like, you can go from fight pass to the main event. And I'm not knocking. There's some great women's fighters out there.
Yeah, it's just not as deep as the men, you know?
It's not that deep. It's not as deep as a Kardashian.
I'm excited to see Sarah McMahon come back. You know, she's a competitor and obviously an Olympian in wrestling. So it'll be cool to see her, see how she bounces back.
Not only that, is that she's like a girl that like remember she went to like, to Sri Lanka and helps tsunami victims and like builds houses for people. And mm-hmm. she's just like this like beautiful, hippie, tough girl who's married to a wrestling coach and like basically, you know, just doesn't shave her. No, I don't know if she does that, I'm sure she does. No, but I'm saying she's this hippie chick that I'm a big fan of Sarah McMahon. I really am. We should want to call her right now. No, so she's fighting Lauren Murphy, who was supposed to fight Cyborg in an Invicta, but something happened. She's 8-0. I don't really know that much about Lauren Murphy, but I'm picking Sarah McMahon for this fight.
Yeah, they don't even have her picture. No one knows anything about her.
She is 8-0. That's a good record. So
Yeah.
That's as much as I know about her. So.
All right. Well, that's, you know, we are the experts.
That is Jake Ellenberger, the
Somebody got mad at me. They're like, dude, you just pick people because you say they've been on your a friend of the show. I'm like, that's exactly right.
You're 100%.
So, all right. Zach.
Fun size.
Fun
Josier
size.
Formiga.
Against Josier Formiga.
Who's he?
I don't know, but I think he's Brazilian. He's 16-3. He's a tough guy. Who did he fight last, DJ? Justin Formiga. I think he lost his last fight. I believe it was to somebody really good. Why am I thinking he lost to...
He won his last fight.
Oh, he won. Scott Jorgensen. He beat Jorgensen. Lost to Benavidez. That's what I was thinking about.
Benavidez.
He got knocked out by Benavidez. He has a win over Chris Carrioso.
I was there.
Who's fighting his... Who's fighting for the title. And he lost to Dotson. I remember Dotson beating him.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I like Fun Size for this fight.
Me too.
Yeah, you know, I've seen Makovsky fight a few times. He's a stud. He is. I've seen him train as well. Like he's a tough dude. I would say he's gonna win this fight. I think he's more skilled too.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, and he's the underdog probably going. He's the ninth ranked. He's ranked number nine. Where Josier Formiga is ranked number six.
Which I don't understand that, but okay.
Yeah, well, because Makovsky's has I think one UFC win, one or two. I think he has two UFC wins, but he was in Bellator as of recent. He got dropped by Bellator. I don't know why you would drop this guy, but he lost a couple controversial decisions. He's got two UFC wins against Sampo.
And Sampo is good as well. I've trained with Josh Sampo. He's great on the ground, great jiu-jitsu guy.
Really?
Yeah, and I knew we knew that was going to be a tough fight going into it, but yeah, those are two big wins right there.
Yeah, Jorgensen. Yeah, exactly. So, who else do we have on this card? We'll skip to Alan Jobin against Seth Brzezinski. Funny story about Alan Jobin. I used to live in Hollywood, and they opened up this MMA gym called Legends, which I walked over across the street, and it was a pretty cool. It was like, at the time, it was owned by, it was Boz Rutten or Randy Couture,
right.
Who's actually on Gym Rescue right now, Randy Couture. And people are wondering if he's going to rescue Extreme Couture.
Hilarious.
A lot of people are asking that, actually. He should also be on the show, what's that, Marriage Counseling or whatever, because he's got some issues there.
Relationship Rescue.
Relationship, or what is that show on VH1? It's like, what is it? What's that show on VH1 where the relationship, the celebrity divorce or something, or something, celebrity counseling? Anyway, so
all right,
I go to this gym, and there's no one in there really except for Alan and one other guy. And Alan's like, hey, you want to do some wrestling? So I go outside, and there's like a cage outside. People driving traffic can see people wrestling in this mini cage, right, at the time. And I go there with Alan.
It's like on the sidewalk in the front of the gym.
The sidewalk, right? In front of the gym. Yeah. So people can walk past, and it's like you're like, walk around this cage and be like, who are these idiots fighting? Right. And me and Alan go, and we were just doing wrestling. And Alan, a strong guy, he's now a brown belt, but he had no wrestling. I mean, none. He had never wrestled before. So I was doing well against him because obviously against any, but he's like, hey, you know, I'm a model and this and that. And
wait, he's a model?
He's a model. Good looking guy. A guy, I'm telling you, this dude.
Did you get a chub when you trained
him?
He's like,
he's a married guy. This dude can pull tail. I mean, ridiculously
pull tail.
This dude is a fucking stud, right? I think he's married now, which is a shame because he's not getting the chicks that he could. So, anyways, yeah, that guy. So, he's been training for like 6 years. I'm telling you, if you look up, he's coming on the show next week. By the way, he wants to. He agreed to come in. He only has 600 followers on Twitter. He needs to raise his stakes. He's a model, but he's a badass dude. And I'm actually really proud of this guy because in 6 years, from going with no grappling experience, uh-huh, no wrestling, to making the UFC,
that's a success.
A huge success. I think he was like 7-1. He lost to Eddie, to Team Rock Biggie, to Mike Biggie Rhodes. His last fight, if you look up, yeah, he has a gun in one. And we're looking up, by the way, I know you can't see, but we're looking up Alan Jobin pictures. And some of them are really, really funny, which is why we're laughing.
Go to the pistol.
Because some of them look very,
suspect. They look very effeminate, but that's okay. I mean, you're a model. I guess you're supposed to look. You have that. What's that called when you look kind of androgynous, sort of like that like Calvin Klein esque model?
Funny money, is that the
term? So that's Alan.
This suit right here.
But Alan Juban, I'm telling you, the guy looks ripped.
His nuts are basically hanging out.
Yeah, this is the guy fighting. There's one fight. There's one. He's in a thong. A little ridiculous.
Yeah, DJ, go up a little bit, please.
All
right. Yeah, right there.
Oh, okay. So we're gonna, you know what? I think we're gonna post some of Alan's pictures.
The ball-kini.
He's wearing a ball-kini in one of them. Yeah. So this is the guy fighting.
If he comes to weigh-ins like that, then
I really wish we had a video camera on this show right now, because you guys would be laughing your asses off, as opposed to hearing our producer giggle in the background and not know why.
Why can't they put the picture of him in the ball-kini across the
set? He's wearing a ball-kini in one of them. But his last fight, if you look up Alan Juban,
Dennis Hallman.
No,
Josh Barnett.
His last fight, he did this thing on Bloodsport, where the guy, you ever see on Bloodsport when he kicks the guy, Van Damme kicks the guy 8 times in the face, but like not moving, but his foot's in the, he pulled that off in his last fight. Look up Alan Juban karate kick Bloodsport. Bloodsport, I'm telling you, this guy's got serious
karate.
He's got serious striking, and I really hope he wins. There we go. Alan Juban lands Jean-Claude Van Damme. Look at his last fight. If you look up, Alan Juban lands Jean-Claude Van Damme kicks at RFA 15, which we're going to post. And this guy's coming in next week. I really hope he wins, because it's going to be awkward if he comes in and he gets killed.
Right.
But, you know, it like, won't be the first.
Oh, yeah. Like he actually keeps his
knee
up there.
Yeah, look. One. That's pretty cool, right?
Wow.
Right?
Great footage.
I mean, Jake, isn't that pretty cool, though?
No, that's cool. Yeah, I have never seen that before. That's
that's cool. Will you describe what's happening since you're
he's basically throwing a roundhouse kick, and he's staying on one leg to where his knee is still in the air, and he's flicking this kick. It's I've never seen that before. The movie, yeah, that's cool.
It's pretty badass, right?
That's cool.
And does it hurt, or is this annoying? That it's like kind of slapping.
kind of annoying. I don't know. I can't tell.
I hope he pulls that off in this fight. So anyway, he's fighting Seth Brzezinski, the Polish Pistola, who's Seth Brzezinski is a badass fighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough fight for your first fight in the UFC.
Oh, yeah.
Who are you picking?
That's a tough fight. I'm going to go with Seth Brzezinski.
Yeah, I'm going with Seth also.
Is that based on the ball-kini pick?
Well, I think, the picture had no determining factor on my decision, but I think Seth's had more experience, you know, and he's probably a little bit more well-rounded.
I actually posted on Twitter. I'm really proud of my friend Alan, you know, a guy who had no grappling, no wrestling experience 6 years ago, is now in the UFC, and he wrote back, I still have no grappling wrestling experience. So the guy's funny as hell. And he's a brown belt under Eddie Bravo.
Nice.
So I'm rooting for Alan, and I'm picking Alan. I don't know why. I have no idea why I'm picking him. Not based on my grappling with him. Otherwise, I'd pick Seth in 3 seconds. But that was 6 years ago.
Six years ago.
Is it based on the fact that he's coming in next week?
No, I don't. Based on the fact that he's my friend.
But he's a brown belt, you said.
He's a brown belt.
Yeah, that's
legit.
Great.
He's got great striking. Good. And any guy who can get goes from being a model to getting as much pussy as this guy got, to getting married and becoming a fighter, is fucking stupid and is going to win this. It's a maniac. Why would you do that? God gave you the body and looks, and you're giving it up to fight Seth Brzezinski in Maine. Okay, you're gonna win this fight. Now, Brad Tavares versus Tim the Barbarian Bosch.
Brad Tavares.
Tim's ranked 14. Brad is not ranked.
I like this fight a lot. I do. He's fought some great guys. He's fought let's see, Hector Lombard. He's fought Mark Munoz. He's fought some of the best guys in the division. I think extremely tough, durable guy. And I think it's going to be a good test for Tavares as well.
Who are you picking?
Oh, give me a second. We'll come back to this. I'm not sure.
I like Brad Tavares in this fight. I like Tim Bosch a lot. He's the Barbarian. I wrote a joke that he's so white that Melvin Gallard tried to snort him.
Melvin didn't like that.
Yeah, Melvin. But now we're cool.
Unfollow. Unfollow.
No, he actually followed me after that.
Oh, really?
And I wrote him, I go, hey, man, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. He goes, no, we cool. You good. So I was like, all right, that's good.
Yeah, with that accent on the keyboard or what?
That's how I read it, actually. Right. Yeah. I like
Tavares
is younger, a lot less damage. Tim is my mic went out, or my headphones went out. Tim is a four-time state champion from Maine. I think he might be one of the only four-time state champions from Maine. And the fight is in Maine, and a lot of people have his back. I just think that he's taking way too much damage. And his last fight, I remember him getting murdered. I forgot who it was. Was it by Yoel Romero? Who was it by Romero? Was it Yoel who butchered him?
I'm not sure.
But somebody just I think it was Luke Rockhold beat him real quick with a very quick submission. He didn't take that much damage. He beat CB Dalloway in a fight that I thought he lost, but then before that he lost to
what's his name?
I just saw it. The DJ, bring him back, please. You're the best.
He does have a win over Lombard.
Mark Munoz.
Yeah, Lombard.
In Dalloway.
Costa Phillip, who stopped him. Mark Munoz just almost killed him, it looked like. His last win was over Lombard, but that was 3 years ago, and that was 2 years ago. But it was also kind of a boring fight where it was sort of... he won technically, but it wasn't really like a very physical fight. It wasn't that much damage being, I think. I think he basically, I thought he lost the Dalloway fight. So he's 0-3 in his last three fights, in my opinion. And I think he loses this fight too. So let's go. Let him off the hook. Who?
Jake.
Oh, yeah, Jake.
Go
who are you picking, Jake?
Oh, you know what? I am going to go with Brad Tavares.
Yeah,
I think he's a
decision here.
He's, you know, he's extremely athletic. I've trained with him before quite a bit. He's a really cool guy, but and a skilled guy. I think he's going to be a little bit quicker to the punch.
When you say I train with him, you train stand up, you spar with him, wrestling, karate. What do you do?
Yeah, grappling. We've trained together at Drysdale's gym. We've trained in Vegas before. Yeah, we've done striking together too. But yeah, he's a tough. He's progressively getting better too. You know, you can tell when guys are really putting in the work, and it's instead of just like, oh, I lost my last fight, I'm just gonna hang out until my next one. It's like, you know, he's progressively getting better.
Speaking of Drysdale's gym, what do you think about Drysdale failing his second drug test, which means that he's actually is the first time he's actually failed more tests than he's had fights. Because I think the first test, he actually couldn't fight because of it, and now he failed the second one. So he's failed two drug tests and only had one fight.
Wait, was his testosterone too high?
His testosterone was too high once again.
Okay.
I mean, the guy could submit everything but a clean urine sample.
Oh my God.
I'm a Drysdale fan.
Yeah.
I met the guy. Couldn't have been cooler.
Yeah.
Great teacher. Amazing jiu-jitsu artist. Why is he taking so much testosterone? What's going on?
You know, I don't know, man. I really don't know. What I do know, he's a phenomenal coach. He's one of the, you know, great guy and one of the best coaches in when it comes to grappling and jiu-jitsu, and just an all-around great guy. He's one of my favorite people, actually. But
do you think it's a matter of a guy like Drysdale who's a 5'3" black, what type of black belt is he? Some kind of
He's like a 5 or 6 time world champ, but I don't know what.
Okay, so he's a 5 or 6 time world champion, right, in jiu-jitsu, but doesn't really, you know, have the rest of the game down packed. Let's see. Does the striking isn't focused on whatever, or has not been. Jiu-jitsu has been his primary thing. He's got the name Drysdale. He's got all this, you know, all the accolades. So he goes into MMA, and is it an ego thing where he's like, man, I'm not going into jiu-jitsu against these guys. I'm going MMA. I have to make sure that I win to protect my brand and my name. So that's one of the reasons I'm going to give myself an extra advantage when he doesn't necessarily need it.
In his favor.
Is it sort of?
I don't think so. You know, because he is. He's extremely skilled. His wrestling is great. His grappling is phenomenal. I mean, he's been working diligently on his striking too. So I don't think that's a, you know, I really couldn't, you know, I can't tell you why, you know, I can't give you a good answer, but I don't think it's because he feels like he needs an advantage. No.
You think maybe his girlfriend's mad, he doesn't want to hump her, so he just loads up on testosterone and gets popped?
I couldn't tell you.
All right, thanks. Okay, now, the next fight, Gray the Bully Maynard
versus Ross, the real deal, Pearson. Interesting matchup. Good fight.
I like this fight.
I'm going with Ross Pearson.
Yeah. I like both guys a lot, and that's why you guys like to make me be an asshole and put me on the spot with friends. But hey, it's okay.
Hey, we're getting you ready for this Fox thing.
I know.
Is that what you're going to say? You guys are being an asshole putting me on the spot?
No, but I can say that on here, so it's cool.
Right, okay.
But no, I am going to go with Ross Pearson. I think he's another guy who's progressively getting better. He's I don't know if you follow him on Instagram or Twitter, you can see like he's how much he's posting of where and how much he's training. I mean, the guy literally, he lives in the gym.
His speed is ridiculous.
Yeah, and he's a hitter. He's got a lot of power. Yeah. So
his girlfriend is so smoking hot. Christy Jane McKeon, she's a UFC ring girl from Australia.
Oh God!
And we had her on the show.
Oh, that's the girl that we had on the, like.
We had two ring girls on the show. One of them
from Australia,
was her.
Though.
Yeah, and I think there might be some tension there. I'm not gonna talk shit, but it's pretty funny.
Tension? What do you mean?
I don't know. It just seems like a lot of the Australian ring girls and British ones that I meet, like they're not much of a lot of camaraderie amongst them. I don't know, maybe because they want to be the girl. And it's a big,
little competition
small
there.
Oh, but anyway, so this is Ross Pearson.
Yo, that's her.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Ross Pearson's girlfriend.
Oh my God,
Christy McKeon is gorgeous.
Oh my God.
And that's why I want him to lose. I'm not gonna no. He's actually follows me on Twitter. Seems like a really nice guy.
Cool, real cool dude.
Super cool guy. And she follows me on Twitter too. And that's why I had her on the show, and I was so excited.
Motor too. That's why I like him.
Oh, you like your rides motor? Yeah. Look, Gray Maynard. I've hung out with him. Another nice guy. I feel like if he loses this fight, he should kind of hang it up. Because his
kind of hang it up or hanging up.
Hang it up. Gray Maynard's another guy, amazing wrestler. I think he was a 4-time state champ. He was up there. He was an All American wrestling. But his
last 3-time All American at Michigan.
3-time All American. He was roommates with Rashad Evans. Very guy, really hard on himself. But his last two fights, loses to Nate Diaz, gets stopped early, loses to TJ Grant, both first round losses. The Clay fight I think that was a weird fight, right?
That was really
strange. Clay ran.
Clay was just running around the cage.
So he's been stopped his last 3 out of 4 fights. He got stopped by Frankie Edgar. I think it was one of those things where those Edgar fights aged him overnight.
I was going to say those probably took a hell of a lot out of him.
Those were amazing fights. Their last fight, Frankie Edgar and Gray Maynard, I was sitting next to his girlfriend and his dad.
I was there too.
And she
just burst into tears.
But it was a great fight. Like he was doing really well. Like I was like, man, this might be the fight. This might be the one, because I think it was in the fourth round or something when he got caught. But man, it was a great fight. You could even say he could have been winning the fight. But
he was winning the fight. It was almost stopped in the fight.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was almost stopped. Like he had Frankie. Frankie was hurt bad. I was like, they could have stopped.
That was
the fight.
Houston, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched that fight too, and I had money on Maynard. I couldn't. My buddy Joey Vegas working Maynard's corner.
Joey Vegas.
I couldn't believe that Frankie actually survived that.
Oh man.
He was.
Yeah, I think that was the joke. That was the fight that like said that he comes from behind more than Anderson Cooper.
And then
so. Yeah, this fight, man, it's hard to pick a winner. If I had to pick a winner, I would pick Ross Pearson based on just being fresher. I think Maynard in his prime beats Ross Pearson in his prime. But I just feel like Maynard's past his prime. And I hate to say that.
Taking too much damage.
And I hope I'm wrong. I really do hope I'm wrong.
Well, you've been wrong before, Adam.
And I'm wrong daily. So I'm like right in between the fact when I'm wrong. So now the main event, OSP versus Ryan Darth Bader.
Worst pun.
What? Like Master
Darth
Bader?
Darth Bader. Master Bader would be better.
Yeah. This is Ryan Bader is one of these guys that when he was on I predicted him winning the Ultimate Fighter. When he knocked out Vinny Magalish in the finals, I thought that I called that. He's had a very up and down career. You know, losing to Tito Ortiz, that still pisses off Dana White. and then going and beating Rampage Jackson. I think, can we click on Ryan Bader? His last fight, he's one of these dudes that
That whole I think he trains at a Team Takedown, right? It's a Team Takedown guy.
No, he's in Arizona.
Arizona Combat.
ACS. Or
you know,
Aaron Simpson, CB Dalloway.
You know, beating Cal Vagante, beating Anthony Parash, losing to Glover in a fight that he was winning.
Lyoto Machida.
Beating the janitor, killing the janitor. Losing to Lyoto in a fight that I thought I was at that fight.
Wait, he killed the janitor?
Yeah. Matyushenko.
I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
He was at a middle school and killed the janitor.
Right. Yeah, no, he was in UHF and killed Michael Richards' character, the janitor. No one's going to get that. All right, so, yeah, he's one of these guys that's just been so up and down, you know, beating Lil Nog. Will he show up? OSP, can we click on him for a sec?
Oh. I like OSP in this fight.
Really? OSP, yeah. I think he's a college football player, strong guy.
Is he a Montreal guy?
No. I always think that too, but he's not.
Excuse me, no.
He's from Knoxville. He was like a stud football player, got huge legs. He beat Ryan Jimmo his last fight, the robot. He's on a huge winning streak. I remember him when he was in Strikeforce, beating. He's on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fight. He's on a huge winning streak.
Sure.
And he's a tough dude. His last loss was to
Gegard Mousasi.
Was to Mousasi, which is, you know, that's nothing to
the top guy,
to feel, feel bad about.
I'm going to go with Ryan Bader on this fight. I think both guys, it's a big test for OSP, but I think, you know, Ryan, he's really kind of getting in a groove. You've seen his competition. You've seen who he's fought and who he's beat. Yeah, I'm going to give the edge to Bader.
I think if Bader fights smart, which is just wrestling, you know, he's an all American for ASU. I think he's got better wrestling than OSP. If he fights smart, he can win this fight. If he stands there and plays rock'em sock'em and just trades punches with OSP, he's gonna get knocked out again. That being said, a lot of white people in Maine. No, I'm kidding. No. that being said, I think Bader wins this fight. T-Rex, who do you like?
I like OSP.
Yep. Why?
Why? Because he's black. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm just a fan of his style. I'm a fan of Ryan Bader, too. I got to hang out with him in Toronto a few years back. But OSP, he's been on a tear, and I don't see it ending anytime soon.
Yeah, all right. So, okay. All right. So
wait a minute. Hold the phone. This fight is 5 rounds, not 3. So the other question you got to say is, can Ryan Bader go 5 rounds?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the gas tank.
Can OSP go 5 rounds?
I agree.
Well, you know, they got these tendons in their legs.
they got fast twitch muscles, right?
Fast twitch muscles that help them, you know.
What is a fast twitch muscle? What anyway? What is that?
A fast twitch muscle?
Yeah.
Well, everybody has... I mean, it's... Let's not get into physiology right now.
I have a no twitch muscle. The only
twitch muscle I have is after I have an orgasm and a girl touches my wiener.
I have a speed walking mom at the mall muscle.
Speed walking mom.
That's the muscle.
You know those at the mall, those right. Fucking ladies that come and speed walk.
6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, those are the muscles I have. The speed walking mom muscle. So, yeah, well, anyway, we got to wrap up this show. And thank you to Patrick Cummings for coming on the show.
Cappuccino Cummings.
He's a great dude. The bean of mean. I like that. The bean of mean. That's I like the bean of mean.
Yeah.
It's either that or it sounds like
he doesn't flick the bean.
A very angry vagina. You know? The bean of mean. So
thanks, DJ. Thank you, Fox Sports.
DJ Shrope.
This week. Where am I going to be? I'm going to be at Flappers Comedy Club on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, we're on that same show.
Thursday night.
For, what's his name?
Rick Martinez.
Martinez's birthday.
Monthly birthday.
What's that?
Yeah.
It's Thursday.
Thursday night. And then Wednesday, I'm at the Haha. Saturday, I'm in Sage and Whittier. Yeah.
Burbank.
And then at the end of August, I'm going to be at the Comedy in Louisville. I'm at the Louisville doing comedy in Louisville. We're going to adamhunter.com.
You said there's going to be another fundraiser on the 5th?
September 6th. Saturday night for my friend Randy Aguirre.
I'm there.
Please, if you see me, tweet out the link.
please, I, you know, it's great that everyone retweets it, but please give money to, because you can't pay medical bills with retweets. So please, even if it's like $20 or $50, just give something, because, you know, it sucks. Mm-hmm. And 29 years old to have fucking brain cancer, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, you know, that's terrible.
And the guy's a super nice guy who makes a difference. He's a teacher and a wrestling coach. Not that if he wasn't a nice guy, it would be okay to get cancer. But still, I mean, it just sucks that this happens to him. So, MMA Roasted at Adam Comedian. Thank you, DJ. Thanks, Jake. Thanks, T-Rex.
Thank you, man. Hold on. I want to dedicate this show to Robin Williams. Got to say that.
All right, thanks.
Robin Williams
died. That just came out of nowhere. No, yeah, that's a terrible, terrible thing. This show's dedicated.
I love that dude.
Yeah, that's awful thing. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Jake didn't even get to say goodbye.
Oh, Jake. Oh.
No, it's fuck you guys. I'm out. I'm not coming back either. Nice. No, I'm kidding. It's cool.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here, and it's funny, and I love you.